Hello and welcome back to Green Left Radio on 3CR 855 AM. A little bit earlier you heard In Between Days by George Byrne, but now we're moving on to our third and final interview of the program, and that's with an organiser for the Stand for Uyghurs rally, Muklis Ma. Thanks very much for joining us and welcome to the program.
Thanks so much.
Hi, Muklis. My name is Sue, and that was Leo who just introduced you as the organiser for the Stand for Uyghurs rally that's happening this Sunday at 2 p.m. at State Library. People have heard, most people who sort of really follow politics will have heard about the struggle of the Uyghurs, but I'd like you to say a little bit about why you've organised the rally that's happening on Sunday, which I believe is a National Day of Action.
Yes, it is. So I'm actually from Sydney, and we've also organised a rally at Town Hall in Sydney. We've got one in Adelaide and Brisbane. We actually originally were going to plan a rally, but because they recently had another rally previously, they decided to have a forum. So we basically decided to focus on this issue, number one, because of just the sheer scale of it. Like, we don't actually have exact numbers in the sense that everything is estimates because, you know, as we know, China is very sensitive about this issue and, you know, we don't have any data from them, or they don't even sort of admit that a lot of this is going on. But, you know, the estimates that we have are that things are happening in the scale of millions. And, you know, recently a tribunal led by Sir Geoffrey Knight in the UK, they basically, after, you know, quite a long time, quite extensive proceedings, declared this a genocide. So really that's the number one reason that, you know, we're sort of focusing on this one issue, because it's just so serious. You know, we're talking about, you know, many estimates are saying 3 million Uyghurs in camps, like, numbers that are unheard of. And, you know, once we previously had all these slogans where we said, you know, never again, and, you know, it brings up memories of the Holocaust and all these things, like, it really must be something that we push. And because China has a very strong grip on everything, there's no media hives. This is something that we need to, you know, put into, you know, people's minds and sort of push ourselves. So, yeah.
I was just wondering if you could maybe explain for listeners a little bit about which part of China is the Uyghur community based, and also have Uyghurs always been oppressed within China, or, like, when did this oppression begin?
Yeah. So the Uyghurs are from in what's now called Xinjiang province of China, which is the western province. It's very large. It's sort of akin to Western Australia. It's not obviously as big proportionally, but it's very it is very big, and it is very resource rich in that province. And basically, like, they're like Turkic people. The Uyghur people are Turkic people, so they're much stronger, or more closely related to, like, Kazakh and other people from Central Asia, opposed to China. Like, you know, they're very uniquely different from the, you know, the normal Han Chinese. And basically what's happened is, you know, they've had various periods of independence and sort of ruling their own state. But really from, you know, hundreds of years ago in the Qing Dynasty, they took over this region and they called it Xinjiang. Xinjiang meaning new frontier. And it has been under Chinese rule for, you know, hundreds of years, really, with various, obviously, ups and downs. And there was a small period of Uyghur independence during the, you know, nationalist rule in China and so forth. So there were ups and downs. And eventually, when the Chinese Communist Party were going to take over, the Uyghur people actually initially quite friendly and cooperative with the Communist Party, because they saw that as an opportunity for themselves. They were promised, you know, an autonomous region, which it's still called an autonomous region. But, you know, when the Cultural Revolution came over, a lot of them, you know, I suppose didn't like that sort of approach. you know, suffered a lot under you know, that sort of governance. And they had many ups and downs. So they really considered that they had been oppressed since the beginning of the Communist Party rule. And a lot of it has come really because the policies of the Chinese Communist Party are really to try to force integration. So they want, you know, the country to be united as a whole. And one of the things that they do is they try to suppress certain cultural, religious, and other expressions, such that or expressions that actually are sort of against their principles or what they want from assimilation. So, you know, like, they have a very unique culture, they have a very different language, they have their own religion, that, you know, it becomes very different to the normal Chinese rule. So, you know, in the last 30 years, there has been quite a lot of, you know, force from the government on the, you know, the Uyghur people of Xinjiang. And basically, it's become very, very intense in the last, you know, 5 to 8 years, where, you know, once Xi Jinping has come in as a ruler, he's sort of had his own vision of things and he's been pushing it. He wants to make, like, sort of this issue in Xinjiang, you know, one of the main things that he's been able to resolve, you know, alongside other things, like he's got his eyes on Taiwan. So he really wants to try to resolve this issue. And, yeah, that's really why it's become more and more severe. And then you add on to that a few other aspects, like I suppose the Chinese basically have appropriated this war on terror and said, oh, look, these, you know, they've taken a few small examples of you know, some Uyghur people in Afghanistan and some that have gone to Syria and said, look, these guys are terrorists, they're separatists, and, you know, that sort of justifies what we're doing in terms of, you know, all of this, and, yeah.
Leo here again, just to take you up on that last point, that's actually exactly what I was going to ask you about. David Brophy recently published a book called China Panic that has a whole sort of chapter on Xinjiang, and one of the interesting comparison he makes is the sort of security state system that's used to oppress Uyghurs in China, and the similar sort of rhetoric that the West has implemented in the past few decades since 9/11 against Muslims in the West, and the whole security apparatus there. Now, of course, Uyghurs are predominantly Muslim, and what sort of parallels can you see between this sort of Islamophobia that the West has cultivated through the security state, and is it being sort of mimicked by China in many ways?
Yeah, definitely, 100%. So really, the West is quite responsible for, you know, giving... initially, the thought that I had maybe 5 years ago was that this was all just, like, China was just using it as an excuse. They didn't truly believe in sort of this war on terror, or that it was a risk. But actually, with reading some of Brophy's writings and sort of what it appears, I believe they truly think that it's a threat. They see, like, oh, look at these guys, they've caused terrorism all over the world. They must be, you know, trying to cause it here. We really need to suppress them. And it seems like, you know, the upper government, you know, upper levels of the Communist Party truly believe it, because they've gone to these extremes. Like, it's not like a small expense or a small amount of effort they're putting in. They're going all out, you know? So.
Well, yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for doing the interview with us, Muklis. That's probably all we've got time for today, but I'd certainly encourage people to check out the website and Facebook page, Stand for Uyghurs, and which has got all the details of the demonstrations around the country. Is there anything else you'd like to say about the details of the protests, Muklis?
No, just that I'd encourage people to come down, and that, you know, it's a really, really important cause. Like, I see this as, you know, one of these causes where it's like the world is sleeping with respect to this, and it's going to be one of those moments that we look back in horror and be like, we allowed this to happen, you know.
Yes, you're absolutely right. There are too many genocides, really, which happen without without an outcry. So thanks very much for coming on the program today, Muklis.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for hosting me.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.